Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have another Bakersfield Connection podcast. I like doing these because I think the Valley needs to be a lot more integrated in order to be successful. And today we have David Higdon on the show. David is the co-founder of Kern Venture Group, a venture capital fund based out of Bakersfield, California, that's focused on funding founders and businesses that want to develop and improve the Central Valley, which I think is such an admirable mission and project to focus on, in particular for the Central Valley's future. Let's go meet David, and Baker will take us there. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best. Fresno's best. David, where do you like to eat in Bakersfield?
Probably I have two favorites. Sorella restaurant is an Italian restaurant, and then Miyoshi is a sushi restaurant. But those are just two places that stand out that my kids like, my wife likes. And so those are like the tried and true restaurants for good food and also a lot of good memories.
Are we talking the Miyoshi on Stockdale?
Yes.
I used to go there. That was like my senior year of high school. Friday night date nights were at Miyoshi, 100%.
Great. I love it. You grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up in Bakersfield.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. I think I would get pretty much the same order every time. It would start with some kind of tempura and then a couple rolls. I remember loving their miso soup. What do you like at Miyoshi?
I'm not a big sushi fan, but I like they have a great like teriyaki chicken or teriyaki.
Oh, yes, that's right.
My wife and kids love sushi, but no, it's always consistent. Same with Sorella, right? You go, you get a good meal every single time. So very popular. It's very small, right? So you got to get there early on a Friday night if you want a table, especially if you have a date, you don't want to sit outside in the heat.
Oh, for sure. And another food related question. If you wanted to go to a diner in Bakersfield, where would you go?
Probably Knotty Pine in Oildale.
Yes.
Spent a lot of time at the Knotty Pine. We used to own a basketball team that was part of the NBA's minor league system. And we played over right next door to the Knotty Pine. So spent a lot of time having breakfast at the Knotty Pine when we had.
Oh, I love the decor on the walls. So you just get like all the farm equipment and the saws. And oh, yeah. Whenever I would take people to Bakersfield, I would take them to the Knotty Pine for sure, because I just wanted them to get that kind of like very authentic experience. And I don't know if you can, can you do much after you've eaten breakfast at Knotty Pine, or do you have to take a nap?
You tell you, it's usually good to take some rest before you do too much. That's why you go on a Saturday.
Okay. We're going to make a hard right turn to talk about finance here and investments. But yeah, I appreciate that you are also a fan of Knotty Pine. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, there's a lot of good hidden gems here for that type of food in Bakersfield, for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the connection between status and branding as it relates to the Central Valley being undercapitalized?
It's interesting. It's the reason why we felt like it was important to have a venture capital fund in the Central Valley, just because access to capital is not easy. It's not like entrepreneurs in the Bay Area or other parts of the U.S. who have a robust ecosystem of venture capital or angel investors. It's something that's new to the area. My background prior to co-founding Kern Venture Group started with a group of folks who were known in the area to write checks to entrepreneurs. If you could find your way to bring potentially it could get funded. Most of the time, this group wanted to take 51% equity, which I don't think is the best way, because you need to continue to raise equity and then co-founders dilute it out, or investors go back to what made them money and they forget about that investment. So we realized that entrepreneurs need to have access to capital. We needed to create an ecosystem where you could help develop talent in entrepreneurs and then provide them with the capital that they need to be successful. I don't know why it's lacking in the Central Valley. There's a lot of prominent businessmen and women who have been successful who invest in funds outside of the area. But I think the I guess when we got into it, we realized it's a lot of work, right? So it's probably people come together, they have an idea, they think about doing it, and then it takes a lot to keep it going. We're fortunate enough to have made it through our first and second funds, and actively right now starting the process of raising our third fund. So I think the answer would be it's hard work. The other thing too, I think that we've noticed is that a lot of folks grow up in the Central Valley, then they go off to school someplace, and the recipients of their great idea are the new college or town that they move to, right? And because they don't have access to that capital. Part of what we've done is we've invested in founders that grew up in the Central Valley, but maybe moved away to start their business. So we're excited to support entrepreneurs and hopefully convince them to come back here, maybe for their next business or to relocate for some reason.
I'm going
to
ask you an inverse of a question that I asked to Danny Bernstein, who started Hawk Tower, another venture fund in the Valley. And we were talking about the concentration of venture capital within certain geographical areas. And how did you think about the connection between the geographic concentration and the ability to have a fund be successful? Do you need to be located near other venture funds to be successful? And Danny had a kind of a nuanced answer to that question. I was curious about your answer just in terms of thinking about that, but also thinking about the initial in 2018 starting this fund, like being a lone enterprise versus a venture fund in the Bay Area seems like it adds some layers of complication.
Yeah, I don't think you need to be in a region that's highly concentrated with other VCs. I think where that is helpful is like just sharing of deal flow, right? I think that you probably see a lot of opportunity to invest. It's extremely competitive, so probably the best deals rise to the top. And if you're pushed out, you miss out on the opportunity. I think having a fund located in the Central Valley forces us to maybe explore opportunities outside of kind of that familiar networking. We do see deal flow that come from large hubs. We were very active in the very beginning of starting Kern Venture Group to network and to get to know folks in other parts of the world. And so if you look at our portfolio, there's a lot of companies that certainly come from outside of the area. The other thing too is in Fund 1 and Fund 2, it's all local investor capital. And so we had a group of folks who wanted to have capital available to entrepreneurs that was its local investors. And so we had an emphasis of we want to do something for the region. And so that we knew that the only way to do that is to tap into the ecosystem of other venture groups outside. And COVID was really helpful for that because it forced everything to take place online. And all these groups started sharing deal flow in a way that they hadn't really prior in our first year and a half. And so we started to be exposed to opportunities and online pitches that we didn't have exposure to in the beginning.
Okay. On your description on your website, you make I'm using the word claim here because I'm going to push back a little bit. I'm quibbling with the idea that there's great companies in all industries that can be invested in. I think some industries are oversaturated. Some industries don't have the economies of scale that you would need to invest in. And I think there are great companies in every industry. I just don't think all of those industries have the potential for investment in the way that some do.
Yeah, I think I would push back by just saying that I think there's a famous quote from early 1900s from the U.S. patent examiner saying that all great inventions have already been made. And this is in early 1900. I think that's the unique thing about business, right? There's always an entrepreneur that comes up with some unique way of doing something. It's the reason before Kern Venture Group, we were able to work with a lot of folks in the oil and gas industry. And folks who have been around that maybe thought of never becoming an entrepreneur sees the way a large company like a Chevron's been doing things forever, and they come up with a simple solution that saves them a lot of money. And that became an opportunity where a founder knows something better than the larger organization and came up with a way to solve a problem and to save the industry a lot of money and to be able to scale that into not just Chevron, but multiple organizations as well. I always think that you're always going to have change, right? You're always going to see somebody break a record in sports because people adapt and they get better. I think you see that in every industry over time.
Okay. What's one thing that you believe that maybe the average VC doesn't?
I think just following up on, I always think that there's an opportunity there. I always believe that we can be just as competitive at spotting good companies as a VC in San Francisco or New York or LA or Miami or Boston. I think that we can do, I think that they would probably not think that because we're not in those hubs or those regions, but I think some of the companies in our portfolios are going to be trendsetters like GreenJets, which is an electric propulsion system.
Do you think intelligence is overrated in terms of an attribute to look for in someone to join your team?
So the first question we asked is, can you work cheap, right? Because we're a small fund, so Bay Area. And the team that we have assembled that works for Kern Venture Group on a daily basis, we actually have a gentleman who's been with us for about 4 years, started off as an intern, ended up graduating locally from Cal State and wants to do this long term. So we've built an opportunity with him. Kelly on our team has a unique background. She grew up in Ridgecrest, went to Wharton, and came back and is interested in helping the community in some way, right? We have another one of our GPs who recently had an exit from a family business who wanted to help us continue to grow and scale. And so he's joined us full time. And then my co-founder, JP Lake, same thing. He wants to have something that we can leave to the community. So it's really, we're not big enough where we can start to build out this team that just has a sense of wanting to work for a VC. It's folks who are really paid, devote a lot of time to get this going. The hope is with Fund 3 that this can really become a firm that can hire talent from not just locally, but other places that can come in and actually take this into Fund 4, 5, and 6. I mean, we want to do something that we can leave here in the Central Valley, that entrepreneurs have access to capital. And we want to, in the background, be helping develop an entrepreneurial ecosystem that at the university level or the high school level, kids are starting to think, or young adults are starting to think about creating their own business, and knowing that, hey, there's a place where I can go when I reach a certain level that I can get capital to help scale. That's ultimately what we're trying to do. And then your second question related to intelligence being overrated. No, I do think that you have to have a level of intelligence in anything that you're doing, right? If you're creating, if you're a filmmaker or you're running a backhoe, or it doesn't matter. You have to have the intelligence to do the job. I think maybe what might be overrated is, do you have to go to a university to expand on that intelligence, or can you create a great company without it? I believe you can create a great company without having to go to college, but you learn in a different way, right? You're involved in the business, so you're getting your PhD in a sense and actually starting and operating a business. I don't have a problem investing in a company or a founder who didn't have a high education, but probably has a high intelligence level.
Okay. One of the many things that venture capital does is it helps founders deal with some of the growing pains of building a company. One of the things that you have to do is work with people in terms of management. From your personal perspective, what do you think, and this is how I see it, I tend to see management as people and processes. What do you think the ratio there is in terms of like how you manage people? Is it 50-50 people and processes, or do you have a different kind of ratio in your mind?
First of all, people are the most important aspect, right? So I think your ratio is good, 50-50, but the right people can help develop the right processes, and the wrong people can help develop the wrong processes. So I think you need kind of some checks and balances along the way, and testing. I think a lot of times somebody comes up with something that they want to implement, but they just maybe rush into it as opposed to maybe slowly implementing change or processes type platform, whereby maybe management is weighing in and it's not just me or somebody else at the top saying, hey, I think this is a great idea. I like opportunities where everybody's collaborative and everybody feels like they share, because I think it's the greater good that actually caused the organization to do its best. That's the style I appreciate and I like.
Okay.
And that's the reason why one of the things we've learned is we want to invest in teams. We don't want to just invest in a founder or a co-founder. We want to have a founder, a co-founder, and a team that's already been brought in that buys into the co-founder and founder, or multiple co-founders, because then there's this kind of ecosystem that's already developed. If you have to go in as the VC to help develop that, it's going to take you a lot of time and probably a lot of wasted capital.
Do you think you can work successfully as a partner in a venture fund without having entrepreneurial experience? In other words, do you think that betrays a lack of credibility when you're working with a founder or a team of founders to take a company from maybe an early phase to a more developed and mature phase without having that experience of doing it yourself?
Yeah, I do think that having an entrepreneurial background is helpful because you can certainly share your experience. I think you can also help a company move quicker or make decisions maybe more quickly because you've gone through the same experience that that founder is. I think there's probably really good venture capitalists who don't have that type of background, but they've got some sort of an analytic approach or way that maybe they can look at things a little bit differently. But I think 80% of VCs who have that unique founder experience or they worked in startups in the past probably do a better job of helping companies become successful.
We're going to jump into my favorite section, which is called overrated versus underrated. I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. You tell me whether you think they're over or underrated and why. Okay. So first one, quantum computing. Is that over or underrated in your mind?
Underrated.
Okay. Why?
I'm an investor in a quantum cryptography startup. So I've been looking at the space for a long time.
And what is it? Because I always hear it and I'm always confused. I feel like I have asked people what quantum computing was or its potential in the past. And I feel like I left more confused after their answer than
it has the most amount in computing power that you can comprehend, right? And that's hard to do, but it'll solve problems very quickly. So you're able to run a bunch of trials, maybe for a cancer treatment, in the amount of time that would be relevant to minutes as opposed to decades, right? So it has phenomenal quantum or computing capability. The downside is all of your security is rendered useless because you can do the same thing when you're trying to break encryption, right? So it's the reason why there's a race between nations and why there's a huge investment to have the first quantum computer built and that can actually be used to solve really challenging problems. You get into an area that it's really hard to understand. When we first made an investment in this company, it was with a founder that came out of Oak Ridge National Labs in Tennessee and spent a lot of time working in the quantum sector. And first investment in early 2010, 2011 timeframe, nobody even knew what was happening or what a quantum computer was or what was capable of doing. We went and met with Congress and tried to talk to them about what it was and what it can do. And it was a foreign conversation at the time. So it's really taken a decade for people to really start to understand the value of it and why it's important, why the U.S. should be investing in it because other nations are doing it. We should be the first to have a quantum computer because we want to protect our own infrastructure. The electrical grid is a major threat to being shut down very easily we could shut it down today easily, but with a quantum computer. And cryptography helps solve that. So the company we've invested in is a cryptography application that kind of plays the defense to the quantum computer's offense. But it's a challenging field. I think Einstein went to his grave believing that it didn't exist. So it's fairly new and most people are just not learning about it, but I think it's underrated for sure.
Okay, next one. The TV show Shark Tank, over or underrated?
That's a good question. I guess maybe overrated, but I do think it does a good job of educating entrepreneurs of what investors are looking for. Certainly, when we look to make an investment in a company, we have them come and pitch to our limited partners, not really in a Shark Tank way, but we feel that it helps our folks locally who have contributed capital to be a part of the process. And I think that maybe some of the companies, it's more about, maybe it's overrated in a sense that some of the companies aren't really going to have a shot at maybe scaling and becoming this hockey stick curve that VCs are looking for. So maybe it's overrated for that. But I think that it does a good job of helping entrepreneurs learn how to pitch their company in a quick way.
Okay, next one. The CSUB campus. I spent some time in that library quite a few years ago. Is that campus over or underrated in your mind?
Underrated.
Okay, why?
There's so many things that I think even our local businesses and entrepreneurs, if they knew the level of equipment and programs that they could tap into, I think it's underrated and it's not promoted well within the community. I don't think that our learning institutions in the Central Valley, we include Cal Poly in the Central Valley, I would say that they're probably the exception, right? I think they're doing a good job of capitalizing on their resources. I think we need to do a better job of tapping into the resources that are potentially provided by CSUB. They're investing a lot in the campus And I think there's a lot for entrepreneurs that are starting to programs that are being developed right now that will help over a period of time. But I think if we could do one thing, would be a better job of telling people, hey, we have these resources available, come in and let's find ways to work together.
Okay. Next one. I'm not sure if this is going to get you in trouble or not, but the next one is Basque cuisine.
That is, I would say that's underrated because it is the one place that you take a visitor when they come to Bakersfield to provide them with a unique dining experience, especially the family style, right? Sit down. And it's really good when you have a group of people visiting town. It's nothing like it. Homemade wine and cow and pickled tongue, right? It's an interesting thing that people aren't going to have in the Bay Area or New York.
That's for sure. And I definitely, when I've taken people to those places, there's an initial stage of confusion. And then once the plates of spaghetti and French fries start rolling out, then the food coma takes over and they forget about the confusion. All right. Next one. Another favorite of mine from Bakersfield, the bike trail.
Oh, that's underrated. And they keep expanding it. So the ability to really get out, and I wouldn't recommend it in the hot part of the summer like today, but certainly early morning bike ride, you can see a lot of this community that you wouldn't see via driving around in a car. So I think it's underrated. I think more people just don't even think about if you're going to ride a bike, going out there and actually getting on the bike trail, but it's great. I love it.
Yeah, my dad likes to go on light jogs along the bike trail, and he's very appreciative that the Kern River is now kind of going to be a permanent feature. I don't really, do you know what transpired with the Kern River and why it's flowing now?
I think we've had a little bit more rain up in higher elevation, so I think that's...
I thought there was some kind of new law that was passed that they would have to keep the river running.
It's possible. I'm not sure, but I'll tell you, your dad's right. It makes a huge difference when there's water flowing through the middle of the city along the bike trail. It's a beautiful experience.
Okay. One more in the section. Pitch decks. Are those over or underrated?
Underrated. I don't know how you as an entrepreneur can convey your message effectively to a potential investor without it. I think it needs to be done correctly. And because most VCs, if you're sending it to them via email, they're taking 30 to 60 seconds to make a decision if they want to explore this further. So if you're getting a lot of deal flow, you're looking at it very quickly. So you're trying to make a quick decision. But yeah, entrepreneurs definitely need pitch decks. It's the first thing we ask for.
Okay. Can you give one tip for a potential founder to improve their pitch deck, what would you say?
It needs to be visually appealing, just to my point of that first 30 seconds.
First impressions.
And that first page really needs to convey, without a lot of words, just really quickly, like an elevator pitch of what the company does. Because once you start to zoom through it, you lose the concept. And the other thing too, I would say, like, telling a story all the way through is very helpful.
Okay. Next segment, I'm going to call it bearish versus bullish. I want to throw a few things at you Central Valley related, and I'm curious your perspective on them. The first one is downtown Bakersfield. Are you bearish or bullish?
Bullish.
Okay. Why?
I think that it's the heart of the city. There is a lot of redevelopment down there. Unfortunately, part of that was tied to Bitwise. And I think that was going to provide a long-term sense of community. One of our GPs is a real estate developer in the downtown area. And I know what their vision is for what they're trying to build down there. I think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in downtown. The other thing too, I've learned is that there's a lot of families who live outside of the area that own this real estate and a part of trust and things like that. And not everybody's willing to sell. So we have things that sit there that could be developed, but it's not owned by folks that are present in the community today.
We have that same frustrating problem in downtown Fresno as well. Just vacant buildings that need upkeep, that need to be sold or updated. Next one, the high-speed rail, bearish or bullish?
I'm bearish.
Okay, why?
I think we've wasted a lot of money on something that probably we could have hired a team of folks who have built these things before for the same amount of money and probably been more successful. It just, to me, I'm bearish because of the delay, and I see how waste when government entities are controlling projects, that things just don't get done. I think it should be in entrepreneurs' hands, should be a team of people who know how to do this, and with the amount of money that they're intending to use, they could probably do it for half the cost.
Next one, the American-made electric cars. Are you bearish or bullish on that?
I am bearish.
Yeah. Why?
I think,
and I'm the same way for the record. I just read this lengthy article on electric car innovations in China and other parts of Asia as well. And I think they're going to take over before we know it.
Yeah. I think it's nice. I think there's a certain element of communities that can benefit from having an electric car. When you're in an area like Bakersfield or Fresno, and I want to go to LA or San Diego, I don't want to stop along the way to recharge my car. I think we do a great job of developing electric vehicles, and I think it has built some really beautiful cars, but I don't think that we should be forced to drive an electric vehicle. So I think that it should be a matter of choice. And I think that driving around the city here on a daily basis, it makes sense. When I want to take my family on a road trip, I would like to be able to do it in 4 hours as opposed to eight.
Okay. This last one in this section, bearish and bullish, is pertinent, but just because the state level, but also now municipal level, new ordinances on homelessness and removing homeless people from public spaces. Are you bearish or bullish on Hope on Heart?
Bullish on, you said Hope on Heart?
Yeah. The new homeless housing project.
I mean, I don't know if it's the same way in Fresno, but it's become in the last 5 years in Bakersfield a problem that we've faced it, but not at the level we're facing it. It's tragic. I can't even think of the situation where, you know, people who are homeless and it's 115 degrees outside. I don't know how the problem gets solved, but we have a huge problem here. And I'd love to find a way to help find a solution. I know that there's some things being built. One of the companies we're most proud of in our portfolio is a company called PadSplit, which is a co-sharing home system that's started in Atlanta, whereby you're able to take one residence that would maybe accommodate three people. If they had three rooms with a co-sharing environment, maybe you convert and have five rooms and you have a common area, and it helps bring down the price of rent. That's saying if you have a job, those things are good. But yeah, we've faced a homelessness crisis in Kern County over the last 5 years that I don't think we're prepared for to help solve. But hopefully with administration and leadership, we can find a way to help folks who are homeless.
Okay.
But I don't know much about the initiative that you spoke about.
Okay. Let's jump into kind of portfolio and performance metrics. There's this aspect of luck involved with investments. I think we have sometimes a survivorship bias where, you know, the ones that hit, we knew it all along. And then the ones that didn't, it was some kind of unaccounted for variable that we didn't know about. What role do you think luck plays in selecting and successfully selecting profitable companies?
92% luck.
Okay.
Me, maybe, I guess.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have thought that when we first started in 2018. I would have thought you could pick it, but the challenges that entrepreneurs are faced with, raising the next round of funding, making sure that their product comes to market in the time frame that they set out, you hit all kinds of challenges. The founder goes through a personal situation, right? There's things that you can't account for on the day that you write the check. And so there's has to be luck along the way, or faith, or whatever you want to attribute it to, right? That helps that entrepreneur move to the next rung of the ladder each step of the way. And so there's challenges. It's just like you in your business, right? You are in your profession, right? You run into challenges that affects the way you feel about the day, and that can happen to an entrepreneur. And that's why team is important, that we want to invest in teams, not just founders, because of all the challenges that, you know, entrepreneurs are faced with. So luck is, I think, crucial.
Let's say you're sitting at a venture capital convention. I don't know if these things exist, but I'm just hypothetically. And another VC asks you, what's the through line with all of your investments? If you were to describe your portfolio having a characteristic, what would you say that was?
That I would say 90% of our investments have some sort of a product or service that will benefit the Central Valley in some way.
Okay.
It's really something we try to, not every investment holds that. So that's why I say 90%, but most of our investments, we believe that there's some tie to helping the Central Valley in some way.
Okay. Let's say you're meeting with an investor, or excuse me, start the question over. Let's say you're meeting with a team of founders and their company is going through some tough times, and the metrics, the data, the quantitative information tells you maybe this is not a time to reinvest in them. When do you ignore that? When do you allow qualitative or emotional or gut feelings override the numbers?
When they're a local founder.
Okay.
And we are trying to, we're making a decision based on helping what the mission of Kern Venture Group was or is to help local founders. And we have probably written checks that if they were the founder or the team was located in another part of the world, we wouldn't have written a follow-on check.
I want to ask you some broad questions now about the Central Valley. As this is a Fresno podcast, I want to put it in a bigger context so we can talk about things that apply to both Bakersfield and Fresno. 50 years from now, what do you think the relationship, you know, obviously we don't have crystal balls, but what do you imagine the relationship between the Central Valley and the large metropolitan areas on the coast will be? Do you think it'll be the same relationship where there's a sense of superiority, the Central Valley continues to struggle with poverty and a number of other issues? Or do you perceive kind of growth and acceleration in the Central Valley that might bring us closer to parity?
Yeah, I think we're gonna have closer to parity. I think that folks in the Central Valley are extremely resourceful. For us, our community is blue collar, hardworking. And I think that once we do a good job of helping to develop the entrepreneurial ecosystem in our area, that we can inspire people to start to solve problems without maybe having to rely upon somebody else to do it. I think that's where we've lacked maybe in the Central Valley. At least I can speak for our region in Kern County. I don't think we've done a good job of telling folks that, hey, you can go out into the world and do whatever you set your mind to do. Or if you want to create a company, if you want to create a quantum cryptography company or quantum computing company, you can do it here in the Central Valley. You don't have to go off to do it someplace else. So I think the more that we do a better job of helping people at a younger age start to think about solving problems on their own, I do think that we will be in a level of parity with anybody in the nation. I do totally believe that. I just think that sometimes I think our communities rely upon each other to build community and to fellowship together and to hang out together. What we haven't done is we haven't built a community that helps entrepreneurs when they're developing a company, right? I don't think we have that ecosystem. That's why I was hopeful for Bitwise to create this little ecosystem where people could come together, congregate, share ideas. This is what I'm working on. Here's what I'm struggling with, and find those solutions. Because that's really the hardest part to getting going is having that community where you can share ideas and vision and look for support.
Yeah, you led right to my next question. We've talked about the Central Valley being undercapitalized, but what other inputs do we need to get us to that place that you're describing of parity?
Yeah, so I think we need to have programs, and I don't know what those programs look like, but certainly accelerator programs are great. And what we're lacking is a real accelerator program where this is what I like about what Cal Poly has done at the Hot House and what they've done at the Cove in Irvine, right? You have students and folks from outside of that student body who has an idea, and you can go to this one location and they help provide you with the resources that you need. You need a lawyer, we can plug you into a lawyer. You want to file a patent, here's a patent attorney. You have some questions about accounting, you want to structure a company, you need a mentor, like it all comes together. That's what I think we're lacking in our area. And I think once we get that, the other thing too is we haven't done a good job of recruiting successful people who grew up here, who love the area, who moved away and did really great things. We haven't recruited them back to help bring their knowledge here to help the next generation of people. That's what I think we're lacking too, is reaching out and saying, hey, you're from this area, you've built something great. Could you please come back, and whether it's a weekend or a week, or you move back to the area, how do we plug you in?
So when I moved to Fresno, there's this kind of big brother mentality with Fresno and Bakersfield, but having lived in both places, they seem related, but they're very distinct, different cities with different cultures and different backgrounds and different histories. But they are the two big cities, and if you don't include Sacramento in it, they're the two big metropolitan areas in the Central Valley. In your mind, what should the relationship be between Bakersfield and Fresno in thinking about economics and thinking about the future of the Central Valley?
It should be close. It's between this 100-mile circle of Kern County, Tulare County, and Fresno County. It's number one, number two, and number three ag-producing counties in the nation, right? If we want to ensure our food supply and assurity of food supply over the coming decades, we should be working together just in that aspect alone, because I think it's important to the U.S. I think it's important to what we're doing here. I also think that there's untapped talent that we haven't gone after, right? There's folks who can do great things. And I think when you have the same mindset, and I lived in Fresno for a number of years as well, and I probably I'm older than you, but I felt very much the same community in Fresno when I lived there as I do in Bakersfield. So I think that it just takes some concerted effort. Maybe it's at the university level of Cal State and Fresno State working together, or maybe it's a group of people who organize getting together on a quarterly basis to talk through how we can be helpful to the region in some way. We also take a really broad approach to what the Central Valley is. We consider it Santa Barbara to Sacramento, and tying in some of those areas that are doing some of these things and help pulling them into Fresno and in Bakersfield, or I don't think we've done a good job of doing that.
Hmm. Do the snobby people in Santa Barbara know that you've included them in the Central Valley?
Yeah, some of them do. We're actually part of an investor group that's based in Santa Barbara for that reason.
Okay.
Because I think we've shared quite a bit of deal flow with them through our network that they appreciate. But yeah, do they? I don't care if somebody has the snobby attitude towards Bakersfield. If we can tap into using their resources in some way, and they're not aware that we're.
Yeah, if you write me a check, I don't care where you're from.
No, not even the check. The community that they have, the community, the network that they have, right? That's what I want to tap into and find a way. You got to remember, all the snobby people in these other areas are investing in ag tech. If they want to make money and they want to meet a farm and they need a place to test something, they're going to need to come to the Central Valley to do that.
Last question before we talk about books. I always ask everyone how their particular profession shapes the way they see a place. So how does what you do shape the way Bakersfield and then see the Central Valley?
The number one thing is we want to be able to create jobs here. And if we can't directly invest in a company that's located here, what can we do to make an investment and recruit that company to the Central Valley, right? So that's really what we're focused on now, is investing in companies that can bring more jobs to the area. Number two is providing working capital to great entrepreneurs with great ideas. That's ultimately the two things that we want to help the region. That's why our investments, typically, that's one of the strongest things that we're looking for, is that some sort of a direct tie to the Central Valley.
Hmm. We always close in the same place with book recommendations. What are a few books you'd recommend to listeners?
My favorite book that I read, I've read multiple times, and I tell everybody to read, is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So that is, I think, the best business book ever written. Basically, it's simple. Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve. It's really just having belief in yourself. So that's the number one book I always recommend. The most recent book I read was Elon Musk biography.
And then I'm in two chapters in. It's definitely interesting. I didn't understand the kind of violence and strife of his childhood and how that's really shaped him. That was such an insightful section. Like I said, I'm just a few chapters in, so I haven't really got to the picking up speed of PayPal and all those things. But yeah, it was really interesting to read those first parts.
Yeah, it's a good book. And then the third one, the one I read just before Elon Musk, was Shoe Dog by Phil Knight.
Oh, I love that book.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fantastic book. Okay. So to close, what are you working on next? You just mentioned you're starting a third round of funding. Can you explain what that means for people? Maybe.
Yeah. So we're starting typically in a venture fund. You have a fund that lasts a period of time. So you raise a certain amount of money and then you invest out of that one fund. So we've done two of those, just over 40 total investments between fund one and fund two, and then starting the third fund. Because ultimately you deploy away that capital and you need to have kind of that next round of dry powder to continue investing. So that's what fund three is. And then most recently launched an ag credit fund that provides upfront working capital to growers around the world in partnership with a large company that's been doing this for 10 years called Produce Pay, that's located down in Los Angeles.
Okay, fantastic. David, thank you for taking time to talk with me. And I really appreciate what you're doing for the Valley in terms of bringing jobs, bringing economic dynamism to the Valley. I think that's such an important thing. And I love that you love the Knotty Pine like I do.
Yeah,
I really
appreciate it. It's a pleasure meeting you, Jordan. And next time you're down this way, let's grab a coffee since you're from the area.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review, or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.